Well, he's arguably our greatest of all time, Andrew Bogut. He was a number one NBA draft pick. He's an NBA champion. He's a Victorian, but at the moment he's a Sydney King, and he's been good enough to join me on the eve of the NBL Finals. Welcome to you, Andrew. Great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
It's come down to this. It's the exciting time. You've been the number one team in the competition all season long, but now you have to get it done in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we do. This is what we play for. Obviously, two-week break right now, which isn't ideal, but we're trying to figure out the best way to handle that. I'm still with our day-to-day training and whatnot. But to be honest, the one versus four thing doesn't really mean much besides home court advantage. So it's... You know, it's a big game, big series for us against Melbourne, and we know that they've had some struggles during the year, both on and off the court from what we hear, and they've turned it on the last probably 2 or 3 weeks and snuck in there. So they're going to be a handful to get through if we are lucky enough to get to the grand final.
So you do think they've got their mojo back, a little Melbourne United? They've got their chemistry working because it wasn't working for a while?
It looks like it. I mean, they played very, very well for the last month of the season, and... You know, I read Dean talking about they treated their last seven games as a seven-game series, which was pretty smart by them. And they snuck in there and got some help with percentage. So they're very obviously a very talented team. We just know that, you know, during the year they had some off-court issues in the locker room behind the scenes, a few of their fellas that kind of might have gotten a few losses early in the season, but they seem to have figured that out. So, like I said, they're very, very talented on paper, and they can beat anyone in the league on their given night.
You've been really vocal about how good it's been playing under Will Weaver, and sometimes we read too much into these stories and look at that as a criticism of Andrew Gaze. It might have been a tricky thing for you to negotiate for the last few months, but it seems as if Will Weaver has been pretty good for you guys.
Yeah, exactly right. And you're right, it is hard to comment on a new coach because everyone feels like it's a subtle shot at your last coach, which certainly isn't the case. It's just Will's done a fantastic job. It is what it is. He's changed the culture both on the court and off the court. And, you know, a lot of the guys, a guy like Brad Newley, who was, you know, struggling the last couple of years, has just found a breath of fresh air and revitalized his career. Daniel Kiggett the same. A lot of our older guys are having career years. We found guys out of the woodwork like Sean Bruce that are doing wonders for us as well. So he's done a fantastic job, and we couldn't be happier to have him here.
The mix between you giving your input, because you're an NBA champion, you've been... It's some of the best franchises, coached by some of the best people and played with some of the all-time greats. So how much does Will Weaver rely on you, especially in-game and when it comes to game style, game plan and team chemistry?
To be honest, it's everybody. It's by committee. Will does a great job of making sure that he gets a lot of player input. You know, we generally have an address the weekend after a game, and everyone goes through positives and negatives, and the influence with that is he wants everyone to speak up at times. He doesn't want just, you know, the more vocal guys or the better players. He wants everyone to have an opinion, and we do that. And in-game situations, I try to, you know, probably talk too much, but, you know, it's just something that I'm passionate about, and if I see something, I'm going to say it. At times, Will listens and might say, "Hey, it's a great idea." At times, he might say, "No, we're not doing that," and that's perfectly fine. That's what you want. You want to have an open forum for anyone from myself to a development player to be able to put suggestions out there, and if they're taken, is another thing, though.
And that's your relationship with Will Weaver. What about with Larry Kesselman? The growth factor of the NBL has been huge. A lot of it has been based around you coming home and giving it star status, but the Next Stars program with LaMelo Ball has also added some star factor, and RJ Hampton as well. So the growth factor of the NBL is amazing. Where do you see it? Do you see us only, you know, two-thirds of the way into where it can grow to? Do you think that down the track it's going to be something that will expand with more teams and more overseas interest to buy teams? Where are we at with it right now? Because we're still in a situation where, for it to happen, Larry Kesselman has to write the check.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Every you know, great sporting league, besides the lucky ones like the AFL, they get, you know, millions and millions of dollars in government grants that we don't get. They, you know, makes things pretty hard for us. But you need a businessman or a consortium that has full pockets of cash that can kind of sustain the tough times. And Larry's done a fantastic job with getting, first of all, the NBL back on TV and back on the map, and having some down years financially. You know, that's just the reality of what he's done. He has lost some money. So it is in a point now where it's trending up. We're not there yet. We're not hitting sixes or home runs, but we're trending in the right direction. And it's a long game for us. We can't expect to have this league, you know, be the number one sport or the number one league in a year or two. It's a 5, 10, 15-year plan to try and get things back to where they were in the 90s. Honestly, that's what everyone always looks back at, where we had every arena full and fans loving basketball. I truly believe it is possible, and I think mixing in the next stars and even the fact that we have Dee Lozada, who's essentially a next star, but was a draft pick that's been stashed over here to get some more professionalism under his belt. I think that's also a pipeline that we can look at for the NBL in the future.
You did tweet a few weeks ago that there was a smoke haze story in Melbourne that referred to whether the AFL teams can train, and you tweeted about the AFL owning the media. Have you felt a real bias to not give enough credit to basketball and not give enough journalists and space in newspapers to basketball?
Oh, look, yeah, no, I'm not going to cry over spilt milk in that facet, but the reality of it is, you know, the AFL is a big dog. They're not only a sport, they're essentially a consortium. They own the country when it comes to sport, and we see that with the push that the AFLW is getting. We would love for the WNBL to get the same push, but we can't afford to do that through the NBL at the moment because we don't have the funds. But the AFL can subsidise a loss with AFLW and get it on every screen and every newspaper and hold that little cherry of you won't get AFL access if you don't get assists. Well, we're not in a position to do that, not only for the NBL, but for our win in the WNBL. So it does make it very hard. It's a competitive landscape in Australian sport as it is, but... like I said, if we can get some of that government funding, you know, somehow siphon its way to basketball, it definitely helps things.
Do you think it needs an Olympic medal? It's the moon landing moment for Australian basketball. If you and the guys that head to Tokyo can bring a medal home, and hey, if it ended up being gold, it would be amazing. But it's a pretty big moment for Australian basketball. We've got Ben Simmons and 10 others in the NBA doing some pretty good stuff at the moment, but it kind of does need to be parlayed into an Olympic performance.
It does. There's no doubt about that. We felt the country come together even for the World Cup last year. We had a lot of positivity going into that, beating Team USA and then finishing fourth. But we'd love to get a gold medal and even take a silver, but it is a very competitive landscape in the Olympics. It's the top 12, so it's not the top 32 like it was in the World Cup. And people forget, you know, everyone just looks at, oh, they got to beat the USA. Well, there's you know, Spain, Argentina, you know, Lithuania, Serbia, Croatia, the usual suspects where it's you have one bad night and you essentially, you know, set yourself up for failure and not getting the medal. So we know what we have in front of us. We also have probably the most talented Bruners roster coming into a 20-man camp in the history of the program, in my opinion, which can be both a positive and a negative. Puts a lot of pressure on the coaches to pick the right guys and making sure that, you know, everyone buys into their role, because it's, you know, the problem is as you know in sport, if you have too many superstar players, that puzzle sometimes doesn't fit. So someone's going to have to play a lesser role or get less touches, lesser shots, and et cetera, et cetera. So hopefully we can get that all on the same page and go roaring into Tokyo.
Will Matisse Thybulle be in that squad?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know where the paperwork's at, but I'm pretty sure he's a citizen, so I don't know him that well. But from what I hear, he's got all his papers in order, and if that's all in order, I'd strongly against leaving him out of that 20-man squad. I think he makes that squad quite easily, but then it comes down to, you know, who that 12 is. And like I said, you know, you got Ben Simmons, Dante Exum, Dellavedova, Patty Mills, Von Maker, the list goes on. Ryan Brokoff. So you got a lot of guys that have to fit into 12, which does put a whole lot of pressure on Brett Brown.
And is Ben Simmons slightly misunderstood in this country? I mean, he's an absolute god. But at the same time, some in Australia are prepared to knock him down a little when he seems to put his head up in the wrong places and say the wrong thing. Where is Ben Simmons at in your mind? Is he the right guy to lead us to the promised land here in Australia and in Tokyo?
Well, he's you know, the best Australian player in the world at the moment, by far. So the first step for us is just getting to put the Bruners singer on. So hopefully we can cross that bridge, this Olympics. But as far as they're misunderstood, that's how sport goes in Australia. Unfortunately, I've been through the same thing as a young fellow. I've said some silly things in my career, or probably still do actually. but you just got to take it. I mean, there is a bit of a tall poppy about what we do here, and that's the unfortunate reality of the landscape, and you just got to kind of navigate it a bit more smartly probably than than we do when we're kind of younger and still figuring things out. But as far as getting Ben to play, that's probably the number one priority for our national team at the moment. Is hopefully, you know, when he puts his hand up to play, he actually you know, comes out and fulfills that, and we'll have a lot of our sets and a lot of the things we do will be based on getting Ben Simmons going.
And last one on the, I mean, I like your honesty, I love it, but you're prepared to whack guys on Twitter if you don't like the commentary. You say, well, I'm watching this one on mute. You didn't like the reporting of the Will Magnay theoretical 10-day contract with Golden State either. You're prepared to say it. Do you still have question marks as to how good we are as reporters and broadcasters in this country, or is that just a bit of fun you're having?
Oh, it's a bit of fun, but no, there's one guy you work with that's a bit harder to listen to. My ears tend to bleed when I've got it on, so whenever he's on a telecast, unfortunately I have to mute it just because I want to try and follow the game. And a few times when this has arced up at me and told me to mute it as well, so I'm trying to keep her happy at the same time. So it's kind of a tricky situation.
Great to have you on, Andrew, and I really look forward to seeing the Sydney Kings playing Melbourne United in the playoffs. Say, yeah, before Holden's demise, has that hurt you, or did you buy other brands these days?
First of all, it's sad. I mean, I think the writing was on the wall once we started making them in China, to be honest with you. That's when I kind of knew that Holden's days are numbered. But as a kid that grew up, loving even Holden Danish and Ford, to be honest, loved Australian-made cars. It's definitely a sad time, but... you know, I've got a few of the oldies tucked away, and they will be probably antiques in another 10, 15 years. So hopefully I can just, you know, find parts to service the bloody things.
What's the best Holden you've got in your repertoire? And I know you've got one hell of a garage.
Yeah, I've got a few of the Brockies, the original Bathurst-built Brocks from the 80s era that are factory original and completely mint. So they're fun to take out every now and then when it's not raining in Melbourne. And they definitely get some looks when you drive down the road. But, yeah, they're definitely fun to get in every now and then and realise that you can't be touching your phone or doing something stupid in the car. If you don't concentrate driving those things, you're going to be in trouble.
Great to have you on, Andrew. Can't wait to see you against Melbourne United, but I'm so excited about Tokyo. It's probably out of control. So thanks for joining me, and good luck in both.
No dramas. Thanks.
Andrew Bogut, basketball superstar, Sydney Kings.